let's get right to it. Take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 2. One said to me before we came in, let him have it. Let him have it, referring to you ladies.
And I thought, I was thinking to myself, that is very dangerous for me to take that kind of an attitude. But the Word of God can do its work. Amen? Amen. Titus chapter 2, and let's look at verse, not because I'm afraid of you ladies, that's not why it would be very dangerous for me to do that. All of you are so sweet and kind, why would I be afraid of you? Yes, it will. My tongue was firmly planted in my cheek as I said that. I could tell you stories about my older sister and I. I will not be mean and say that some of you remind me of her. No, I'm kidding. I know a few things. I'm dumb in a bunch of other areas, but I know a few things. I had four sisters growing up, and four daughters, and a wife. I've learned sometimes you just need to not say anything at all. Other times I can't keep my mouth shut, and I get myself in so much trouble. And then I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut later on. So, anyway, I would ask you this afternoon, keep your heart open to God's Word. Amen? Let God's Word do its work. All right? And I'm sorry? Oh, and this is not for you men to go to sleep on, all right? God's word is always proper and productive, and especially some of you single men, you need to pay attention to this too, all right? Titus chapter 2, and let's look at verses 3-5. The Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We're going to finish up in this afternoon, if we get through all of this, on the responsibilities of a wife and of a mother, and we've considered the responsibilities of a husband and towards his wife and so on. And so this afternoon we'll conclude this portion with this passage of Scripture. But in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul charges the older women in the church to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. And the instruction, and we're going to consider this last phase or this last section concerning a wife and her responsibilities to be a keeper at home. That's what we're going to consider this afternoon. And the instruction for women to be keepers at home generally has been understood by Christianity as teaching that the sphere of a married woman's work is her home life. And that understanding is reflected really basically by, if you were to read pretty much all the commentaries regarding this, that would be the basic understanding of it. Many have said in regarding this passage of Scripture, and commentators have said and interpreted this phrase to mean housewives, not spending their time gadding abroad, but in looking to the affairs of their own families. Another one would say the Christian woman as a housewife, looking diligently to the affairs of her family. And that has been the standard, really, of Christian thinking for a long time. A woman, her sphere is to be in her home. Nonetheless, in accordance with the spirit of this age, which, by the way, the spirit of the age looks down with disdain upon the notion that the sphere of a married woman's work is her home. And there are many Christian women and in Christian circles that have rejected the biblical understanding of what it means to be a keeper at home. Instead, to be a keeper at home is twisted, or it's changed, and even different versions of the Bible change how this is worded. Like the NIV, for example, it said instead of the Word of God saying women are to be keepers at home, it says that the NIV says that a wife is to be busy at home. Different word, different meaning. In other words, she should not be idle or derelict in fulfilling her home duties. But the Word of God, the King James Version, says keepers at home, and it's a very distinct and definite meaning and a definite word. To be a keeper at home, listen, in Christian circles now, to be a keeper at home doesn't define the married woman's calling or the sphere of her work, but it's simply an admonition. When the Word of God, listen, the Word of God defines the role of a wife and a mother. And just like it defines the role of a husband and a father. To neglect or to rebel against God's instruction, God's authority, against the Word of God is to rebel against God. A wife and a mother, according to today's philosophy, even in most Christian circles, she can pursue a career outside of the home. She can be a lawyer. She can be a teacher. She can be a sales clerk. She can be whatever she wants, as long as she fulfills her responsibilities in the home. Now, technically, the Word of God does not say that it's wrong for a woman to have a paying job. However, when you start to break down all of the responsibilities that go into to being a wife, when you start to understand all of the nuances of the role of a wife and to be a keeper at home, it becomes pretty clear that a Christian woman cannot be and do all that God has required of her to do unless she gives her full life to it. She can't fulfill this role, especially when there's children involved, especially when there are a bunch of little ones running around. She cannot give her full self and her full heart, her full attention to that job if she's pulled in a different direction by a 40-hour work week. Technically, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin or wrong for a woman to have a paying job. But if you really want to get right down to it, there is no better calling, number one, for a wife and a mother. And there's nothing that is more fulfilling, and she can't possibly be all that she should be and needs to be when her loyalties are divided, when her time is divided. And we'll talk about all of that here in just a little bit. But the difference between the biblical interpretation of keepers at home and the modern version is considerable. The biblical interpretation establishes the home as the sphere of a married woman's work and her calling. The modern understanding says it doesn't do anything of the sort. The biblical interpretation defines a married woman's career as a homemaker. The modern view teaches that a married woman can pursue any career she wants outside of the home as long as she does not neglect homemaking. Well, that might sound good, but what's the reality of that actually taking place? The biblical interpretation calls the woman to focus her energy, her time, and her talents in the home, in the service of her family. The modern view says that she's not so restricted and she may go outside of the home for her employment if she chooses. Again, all that sounds good, but what's the reality of that, of her actually being able to fulfill her God-given role under those circumstances? So what is the correct understanding? How should we proceed? How should godly Christian women proceed? Well, it's my belief that the biblical interpretation is the correct interpretation. Amen? So let's look at the meanings of some of these words here. Let's look at the meaning of keepers at home And then on a wider biblical scale, let's look at the teaching of the role of a wife and a mother. First of all, consider with me the meaning of keepers at home. Keepers at home, this phrase here, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. It comes from the Greek word oikouros, and it's derived from two different words. The Greek word oikos means a house, it means a dwelling, a household, or a family. The word ouros refers to a keeper, a watcher, or a guardian, or one who has the oversight and responsibility of something. And so the basic significance and meaning of oikouros is that of a housekeeper, that is, one who watches over a household and a family, seeing to it that all the members are cared for and all things maintained and in good order. That's its definition. This word was also used specifically as a praise for a good wife or a godly wife. It was a positive word when it came to used in connection with a lady, with a woman who was a homemaker, a housekeeper. This is very interesting. Historically, this word, oikouros, is used in a contemptuous way for a man who would refuse to go out to war. And he was designated as a stay-at-home man. And this is historically how the word was used. It was used contemptuously against a man. He was considered a stay-at-home man, but it was used in a positive light and as a praise for a woman who was a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home woman. Historically, that's the way the word has been used. Biblically, that's how the word is used as well. And if you just consider the meaning of the word, it's pretty easy to conclude that oikouros was primarily used in a positive sense to indicate both, listen, the nature and the sphere of a married woman's work. The nature of her work was to manage the affairs of her household. The sphere of that management was her home. Paul's admonition here is very definite. He says, let the older women teach the younger women to remain within the sphere of their own household so they can properly manage the duties of caring for their family and managing the everyday affairs of a household. That's the meaning of the word keeper at home. But consider with me, secondly, the biblical roles of a wife and a mother. And this is important here. If we're really going to define and really understand this, we need to how important this is, or the magnitude of it, we need to understand the biblical role of a wife and mother. The fact that keepers at home refers to a married woman's responsibility to stay at home to care for her family is confirmed when we consider the biblical teaching of the role of a wife and a mother. Because her role is so vital to the well-being of her husband and to her children. Her responsibility in keeping the home, listen, it's so demanding that it would not be possible to properly fulfill that role unless she devotes her entire self to it. She can't do what God has called her to do unless she abides in the home. God assigns three specific roles to a wife and to a mother. The first one is she's to be a helper to her husband. Genesis chapter 2. Go there with me. Hold your place here in Titus. Stay with me here as we lay the groundwork. We'll get to some specific applications toward the end. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam, and so on. Verse 20, and Adam gave them names. And then verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And out of that rib, God made a woman and brought her unto the man, according to verse 22. The first role, biblical role of wife, is to be a helper to her husband. And here we find what it revealed to us, the primary purpose of the woman in relationship to her husband. She's to assist and support him in his calling. And her calling is to help enable him to be successful in his calling. She is his counterpart, and so on. And so the calling of a wife is to enable and help her husband be successful in his calling. Other important scriptures that indicate that the woman was made for the man to be his helper, and that his success, in part, is dependent upon her and her love and support for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. She is given this first responsibility to be an helpmeet for her husband, his counterpart. And there's lots of other scriptures we could read. Proverbs 12, verse 4, Proverbs chapter 18. Let's go and look at a few of those. Let's just take the time to do it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. The Bible says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Look at chapter 18 and verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Look at chapter 31, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so we find here that the woman was created for the man. Her first and primary calling is to be an helpmeet to her husband. Secondly, a wife is to bear and nurture children. The bearing and raising of children is one of the central purposes of marriage. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. The whole idea that permeates our society and even in Christian circles of not wanting children. You know, children are a drag to my lifestyle. You know, I'll marry and it'll be just the two of us for the rest of our life. That's not biblical. It's not godly. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, He said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's God's intent for husbands and wives to form a family and for a wife to bear and raise children. That is one of the central purposes of marriage. And by God's creative design, the woman is to be the primary caregiver for a child. And she is called and equipped by God to nurture the life and the soul of a child. She was created with a marvelous capacity of conceiving and carrying life within her. And then after birth, she's prepared and equipped by God to nurse that child and to provide that tender love and affection that a child needs. In conjunction with her duty to be a helper to her husband, a wife has this privilege that a man does not have. A high calling to nurture the children of that marriage. The English word nurture is a wonderful word to describe what a mother's role is. It means, the word nurture means to nourish both body and soul. And it refers to the task of feeding and educating a child and caring for their well-being. Listen, the scripture is definite in regard to the motherly responsibilities of a woman. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5. When Paul was discussing the qualifications for widows who would receive help in the church, he gives a list of good works that should be present in the report concerning this widow. And I want you to notice this with me. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10. The first work on the list regarding these widows is this. Look, verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, and so on. The very first on this list of good works is if she has brought up children. The word brought up here is a Greek is the Greek word trophaeo, and it's extremely important because it means not only to raise, but also carries with it the idea of personal attendance, that of being with the child, to care for the child, and to train the child. Furthermore, the word brought up indicates that the rearing of that child takes place within the home. The noun form of the word brought up is trophia in Greek, and it means brought up in the house, reared at the home. In other words, the good work of the widow that is in view here is whether or not she has stayed at home to raise her children. God never intended for children to be left in the care of others while the mom works. That was never God's intent. Now, I understand. Not every situation is the same. So don't crucify me here for saying this, all right? Not every situation is the same. And there are burdens on some that not everybody bears. We're talking about God's original intent, though. And God never originally intended for children to be left in the care of others while a mother worked. The good work of the widow was whether or not she stayed at home to raise her children. Furthermore, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at verse 14 here. Paul says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Wow, you see the connection here? With a wife and a mother's responsibility and her role in her home and the opportunity for reproach on the name of Christ when there's a dereliction of that. He says here, Paul's instruction to younger women, he admonishes them to marry and to bear children. The word bear children means to bring them not only into this world, but also to nurture and to train them. How is it possible for a wife and a mother to fulfill this weighty responsibility while her time and attention is somewhere else? Are you with me here? Let me give you this quote. Childbearing or motherhood denotes the proper sphere in which a woman finds the true fulfillment of her destiny. It speaks of the highest ideal of Christian womanhood. It brings out that which is noblest and best within her being. Why? Because that's how she was created. That's what she was created for. Motherhood is not demeaning. The motherly nurture of children in their physical and spiritual development, listen, it's of the utmost importance in the kingdom of God. Why? Because the very next generation of God's servants is largely in her hands. If she is faithful in fulfilling her calling, God will highly honor her, and she will be counted as a true hero of the faith. Because so much of the very next generation of God's servants are right there in her hands to shape and to mold. Think about this, ladies. Some of you have sons. Little boys sitting in these pews. Who are those little boys going to be when they become men? Are they going to love God with all of their heart? Are they going to be a vessel that has yielded to the will of God? Are they going to be little men who are passionate and fiery about serving the Lord? That largely depends on you. As you shape and as you mold those little lives that are right there in your hand day by day. How is a wife to do this to her full potential capacity if her loyalties are divided? The Bible may not say that it's wrong for a wife to get a paying job. But when you consider the role and the responsibility and the weight of that responsibility, you start to see how is that even possible to do unless her whole heart is devoted to this task. The third role that God has designated for a wife is that she manage the home, to be a keeper at home. In Paul's charge to the younger women here in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14, he exhorts them, look, they're to marry, to bear children, to guide the house. The verb guide here is oikodespotin. I think that's how you pronounce it. But it's an expressive term meaning to rule the household, to manage the affairs of the family. But it indicates that the sphere of a woman's authority is the home, as opposed to the sphere of authority in the church or the state, etc., etc. Honestly, I don't believe, and it's my personal opinion, I don't believe that a woman should run for political office. That's just my personal opinion. I don't really believe that she's fully equipped to do that job, and she's got a much more important role than that in her home with her children. Why do you think America's in the state that it's in? It's failures from fathers to lead, and failures from mothers and wives to fulfill their responsibility and their role as well. It's the breakdown of the family unit, which leads to the breakdown of a society. This term guide, where Paul says to guide the house, this term carries with it the meaning that the managing of the home is the wife's constant occupation, her full-time job. That's what the word means. And it was never, back in Paul's day, there was no misunderstanding or misinterpretation of what the words meant. An example of that, of a wife, this being her constant occupation and her full-time job, an example of that is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. In the biblical description of the virtuous woman, we're told in Proverbs 31, verse 27, that she looketh well to the ways of her household, meaning that she's wise and diligent in her management of the household affairs, supervising all aspects of that family life, and she looketh well to the ways of her household. Additionally, the Scripture says that through this virtuous woman's skills as a manager and as a wise woman, she secures the very well-being of her household, while at the same time, listen, understand, the foolish woman neglects her managerial responsibilities, and it causes her house to be in ruin. Look with me over at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, 27, looketh well to the ways of her household. Because of her skill as a manager and as a wise woman, she secures the well-being of her household. But the foolish, in neglect, causes her house to come to ruin. And so the roles assigned to the married woman by God confirms that she is to be a keeper at home. And it refers to those who remain at home so that they might properly attend to the duties of caring for their family. And when these duties are understood in all of their scope, all of their significance, it becomes pretty clear that only by being a keeper at home can a wife and a mother fulfill that high calling of God to be a helper to her husband, to be a mother to her children, to guide her house. And if she sees all of that, she'll realize, listen, I don't really have time to do anything else. Certainly nothing else is as important as that. Let me sort of bring this to a conclusion here with some advice. A well-ordered home is one of life's greatest treasures. It's not something that comes easily. And it's not something that even is naturally given. It takes a whole lot of work, and it takes a whole lot of discipline. And it doesn't come naturally to have a well-ordered home. That's why Paul in his teaching said that the older women are to teach the younger women. If it was something that came naturally, there wouldn't need to be teaching. If it was something that came easy, it wouldn't require a lot of work. But a well-ordered home, listen, is one of the greatest treasures that there can be. The older women have the responsibility to teach, but there's also some responsibility on the side of the younger women to learn. Let me just give some advice here to single ladies. The commands of Titus 2:5. Let's go back over there. Titus 2 and verse 5. The commands there to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The commands here of Titus 2:5, they're connected to verse 4. And I want you to look at some of these words and understand their meanings here. Verse 4 says that they may teach, referring to the older women, teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. The first word here that's used is the word sober. And Paul says that the older women are to teach the younger women. So the older women have this responsibility to teach this. The younger women have the responsibility to learn this. To be what? To be sober. The word is sophronizo. And it means to make of sound mind. It means to be disciplined. All right? So it's talking about being disciplined in your mind. It's talking about being disciplined in your life. The younger women need to learn to be sober-minded, to be disciplined, to be of sound mind. A mature, disciplined mind is going to produce some things in the life. A mature, disciplined mind is going to produce things like neatness, for example. It's going to produce initiative and not laziness. It's going to produce punctuality, etc., etc. We're talking about a well-ordered home, okay? A well-ordered home is one of the greatest treasures that there is. These commands are connected to verse 4. Paul says you need to learn to be sober. You need to learn to be disciplined in your mind. Learn to be disciplined in your life. It's going to produce some good qualities, some good characteristics about you. It's going to produce some neatness about you, not slovenliness and sloppiness. That is not something that is a quality or a characteristic or that is Christ-like. It's actually selfish. It's going to produce some initiative rather than laziness. I need to be at work. I need to be doing some things. I need to be productive. I can't be wasting my life and letting it pass me by while I lay around and do nothing. Or while I fill my life up with all the things that make me happy. While I waste my life in front of the stupid television set. Or whatever. Paul says you need to be disciplined in your mind and in your life. And that discipline is going to produce some good qualities, good characteristics that are going to enable you, listen, better enable you and equip you to be what God wants you to be for your husband, for your children, for your family. He says to be sober. He says teach them to love their husbands. This is the word philandros. It means affectionate as a wife. So to learn to be affectionate as a wife. A wife, listen, who really wants to please her husband will want to make his life easier. Often, when a house is a pig pen and a pigsty and it's a mess all of the time, that is a source of stress on the home and on the family that is completely unnecessary. A man works a job, you know, he comes home from work, his home is to be a safe haven. A wife who really loves her husband is going to want to please him. She's going to want to make his life easier, relieve some of that stress. And a house that's a constant pig pen is a source of stress. A wife who loves her husband is going to work her very best and do her hardest, work her hardest and her best to eliminate that kind of unnecessary stress in the life. Because she sees it's her responsibility and her role. Listen, ladies, I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. God did. The word translated as keeper at home, I'm telling you this, it literally translated means good housekeeper. I think God actually does care whether or not our homes are clean or a mess. Often it's a reflection of right in here. Now I get it. People actually live in the house and there's children and the frustration of a wife and a mother. I just cleaned that up and little Johnny's coming right behind and undoing all that you did. I get it and I understand it. We are there. That speaks nothing of the desire of the heart and the attitude and the work, right, that goes in behind it. I've seen that frustration many times on the face of my wife. Part of a mother's job, though, remember the older are to teach the younger? Part of a mother's job is to be training and teaching and instilling these same qualities and principles into her children. Sometimes that sort of thing, you know, can be taken to an extreme. I mean, some people are just so anal, if you will, about any little bit of dirt and so on. But you know what? There could be worse problems to have. People actually do live in a house, understand that. But the heart and the attitude and the mindset behind it is number one, for the Lord. Number two, for my husband. Number three, for my children. I'm teaching and training all the time. Paul gives more instruction here in verse 4, not only to be sober, to be disciplined in the mind, to love the husband, to be affectionate to his wife, but to love her children. That word is philotechnos, and it means fond of her children. It means maternal. And a mother who loves her kids will realize that she is teaching and training all the time. She's going to want to do her very best that she can do for her children to help them succeed as adults. And if her life is disorganized and she can't keep her own house clean and in order, or she sees no need to do that, listen, that will often be reproduced in the lives of her children. How many generations have faced this very thing? I mean, I probably could, if I thought about it hard enough, could come up with some illustrations and some examples of ladies, you know, who lived in a home where their mom didn't really take much thought into keeping the house clean and so on. She can't keep her bedroom clean herself, so she grows up, she gets married, and all of a sudden now she's got these responsibilities that are on her as a wife and a mother, and she struggles day in and day out and day in and day out. All the while, she's frustrated because these things were never instilled into her by her mother when she was young. And now she's got this struggle in her own life, and this thing is being now reproduced in her children, and the generations are just following cycle. And if she's conscientious and she wants to do a good job and she's working so hard, she finds this so very difficult, and she wishes that it was instilled in her when she was young. We all know this to be true. That we fight and struggle with things as an adult. It's so much harder as an adult to turn things around in our life at a later age than if those things were instilled in us from our youth. We all know this to be true, don't we? Paul says here as well that they may teach the younger to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5. To be discreet. This word is the Greek word sophron, and it means self-controlled. This sort of goes back to having discipline in your life. And then he gets to being keepers at home. You see, all of these other things are connected to this right here. The word keeper at home means stayer at home. It means domestic. It literally is translated a good housekeeper. And it seems that God does care whether or not a wife is disciplined, whether or not she's orderly, whether or not she is a good housekeeper. And here's just some advice. Single ladies, if you are not working at this now and developing in this area of your life, you won't magically be able to do this when you get married. It doesn't happen all of a sudden and magically. And listen, if you can't keep your room or your apartment clean now, you're going to struggle later on, only it's going to be 10 times harder with a family. It's the responsibility of the older women to teach this, but it's the responsibility of the younger women to learn it. Amen? If your life is disorderly now, if you can't keep a home now and keep it well, it is going to be 10 times harder later on and a source of frustration and struggle. Why not work at being sober-minded, disciplined in your life, disciplined in your heart, disciplined in your thinking? Have initiative. Have things orderly. Have things in line. Be a keeper at home right now so that as you transition into what God has for you next, it's not such a struggle and so hard. And by God's grace, you can be what God intends for you to be. Just let me finish up here with some advice to wives and mothers. I said this before, but the Bible doesn't teach necessarily that it's wrong for a woman to get a paying job, especially if it's a time of need. However, her first priority is to be a homemaker. And if there's a job that causes a wife to neglect her husband or a mother to give second best to her children, she ought to quit her job and she should start trusting the Lord. Plain and simple. God never intended the children to be left in the care of others while their mother worked. And no one can do and be what a child's own mother can do and be for that child. Being a keeper at home must be her first and highest priority. That's her calling from God. Long ago, my wife and I determined that we were going to live on one income rather than become accustomed to a two-income lifestyle. And there's nothing wrong with a young wife, you know, getting a job when there's no children around and so on. There's maybe nothing wrong with that. But my wife and I did that for a little while. But it wasn't long. And we just determined, we just decided that even though we don't have children yet, it really doesn't matter. We're not going to become accustomed to living off of two incomes. And then all of a sudden, when children come on the scene, boom, we're cutting out the one income, you know, and so on. We're just going to learn to live within our means. We're going to learn, you know, to live on one income. And we're going to be in preparation for what's coming next in our life. And that is, God's going to bring children into our life and our family. And long ago, we determined to do that. We've been married for what will be 20 years. This next anniversary, my wife has never worked a job. She's been at home, raising our children. The Lord has always provided for us. Yeah, sure, I don't make a whole lot of money, but we've never gone hungry. We've never been without. The Lord has always met our needs. We don't have mountains of debt. We live a pretty good life. God always provides. When we will submit ourselves to His purpose and His plan and the role that He's intended for us as husbands, as fathers, the role He's intended for you as mothers and wives, the blessings of God abound. And the enabling that God gives, you can't put a price tag on it. It's better, far better, to live in the realm and in the sphere that God has ordained than to try to think that we can bring some sort of external happiness into our life by ourselves. We'll always fail. We'll always make a mess of things. I was reading some stats while studying for this on the real cost of a wife working outside of the home. And this, I mean, it went into great detail. Not just talking about child care and so on, because we've talked about that before. Sometimes women end up working just to be able to pay for daycare, which makes no sense whatsoever. But then it went on to talk about, you know, the actual cost of living. Because then, you know, a wife, she's got to have a car. And she's got to have, you know, a wardrobe. And she's got to have all of these other things, you know, that go into, you know, having a job. And it started putting price tags on these things. And the total cost being added up, it turned out to where, on average, families are actually going backwards financially just so she can have a job. And they think that they're adding to their lifestyle by doing so. Went on to talk about how much debt people are in. And then on the flip side, it went on to talk about how much gain and benefit there is when there's one income and a wife stays home and works in her home with her children. The elimination of all these extra costs and so on. I mean, it was amazing. And even from a secular point of view. And I thought to myself, you know, this is more further verification of the fact that God's ways are always best. I didn't even need that. But it was another verification of it. Praise the Lord. God has a perfect plan. Amen? For true happiness and fulfillment. And it's only when we get in the role that God has given for us that we find that fulfillment. So some admonition, some instruction for a wife and a mother. Give your whole heart to this role that God has given you. It is so important in the kingdom of God. If you're a single lady, be working on this responsibility right now. Get some discipline in your life if you don't have it. There's some areas of your life that are falling pretty short. Get some initiative. Get serious. Get the Spirit of God in control of your life. And be ready and work at being what God wants you to be. Hey, you know what? There's some good instruction for single men too. You want a wife who's godly. You want a wife who has her head on straight, spiritually speaking. It doesn't really matter all the other things. You actually will do yourself a disservice. This is the kind of woman that every godly single man should desire. This is the kind of woman that every godly single lady should desire to be. This is the kind of woman that every wife and mother should aspire to become. God's kind. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd strengthen our families, strengthen our homes, strengthen husbands and fathers in their leadership, and their responsibility of loving their wife as Christ loved the church, bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Strengthen mothers and wives in their responsibilities towards their husbands to be a helper, to love them, to take care of the needs of the household towards her children, to be sober-minded, to be disciplined in her ways, to have initiative and character about her, to understand that she's teaching all of the time, that her role is so important and so vital. And usually the thing that gets in the way of a husband loving his wife like he should, of a wife meeting her role and responsibility, the thing that gets in the way is selfishness in our heart and love of self. Father, I pray that you'd help us to yield to you our will. Father, to grow in our relationship with you and to further separate ourselves from this old sinful flesh or its power over us. Father, and be controlled by the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen these families, these homes, that the next generation would grow up learning to love you with all of their heart, that you would be glorified, the church would be strong. Father, the work of the Lord would move forward. Thank you for your word. It's so very clear. And its instruction, help us to apply it, not to just be hearers, but doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.